Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the SASCast podcast hosted by the Student and Academic Support Services Office at Lindenwood University. My name is Lauren Porter, and with me today is Alexia Prudencio. How are you doing today, Alexia?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing pretty well, Lauren. I only have two classes today, so it's a good day to do homework and catch up with all the essays I have to do.
And be on the podcast.
Oh, yes, of course.
So, any fun plans this week?
I'm going to Intimate Apparel this week. My friends and I wanted to see a show before the end of the semester, and since Lindenwood students get free tickets, we thought, why not?
Totally makes sense. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people on campus and asked, like, hey, are you going to Intimate Apparel? And they're like, yes. I've looked at the set. I'm taking a class called Stagecraft, and we're painting wood. And one of the things we have to do with painting wood is we need, like, examples. So we keep going to Intimate set and being like, all right, this is what wood looks like. It seems pretty simple, but I'm drawing it. It's a pain. I'm not an artistic person, and so those classes kick my butt. Any result? An interesting thing you might not know, but all of the sets here for Lindenwood shows are produced by student workers here at Lindenwood.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we have student workers, a part of the student worker finance, so you can work between 15 to 20 hours, depending on where you work. So, like, me and you, we work at the Student Academic Support Services office. We work 20 hours. But where, like, Janelle works, who is one of our interviewees today with us, she can only work 15 hours due to the shop rules. Mm-hmm. And she gets paid just like we get paid to work in the shop. Speaking of Janelle, Janelle is a junior BFA technical theater major. She works part-time in the shop and is very talented at scenic painting, lighting, and props. She is the co-lighting designer or assistant lighting designer for Intimate Apparel. So when you see the show and you think, wow, such pretty lights, credit her.
Yeah, I want to be you.
So we also have Nick Lane. He is a senior BFA acting major who just recently played Heathcliff in You on the Moors, directed by Donna Northcott. Ooh. So I wanted to start off by saying thank you both so much for being here. I know as
good
being
to be here.
Yeah, I know as being a theater major, we have very limited time. So the fact that you guys were like, you know what, I have an hour break, let's do this, I really appreciate it. So the first question I have is, what got you started in theater and why did you continue or why did you want to continue your journey here at Lindenwood?
I'll go first. Yes, well, in high school, I auditioned for a play. I did not make it. I got put on Lights Crew. And I had no idea, I had no knowledge of what technical theater was, but I started going to the meetings for lighting, and I actually found a passion in technical theater for it, and Lindenwood was a really great place to pursue technical theater, because the faculty are just so experienced, and it's a very hands-on experience in terms of designing and building, so, yeah.
I don't know. I've always really loved performing and music, and I started singing in a choir when I was like 2 or 3. Really embarrassing. But I actually saw my first theater show on Broadway in 2003.
What'd you see?
I saw Little Shop of Horrors on Broadway.
Yes.
And I was 5. So I had no idea what I thought at the time. Oh, that's cool, pretty plant and music. But when growing up in high school, I actually thought I wanted to be a graphic design major because I loved to draw and everything. But I started doing a couple shows in high school and early college at St. Charles Community College, and I just realized how much I loved to like sing and perform. And
I didn't know you went to community college. That's cool.
Yeah, I did 2 years at SCC before coming here.
That's cool. And why did you change to Lindenwood?
well, my plan originally was definitely just to do 2 years of SCC because it's very cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cheap. And it's still pretty good classes. But I always wanted to end at a 4 year to get like the full experience. And I know Lindenwood was close by home. I wasn't really ready to leave town yet. And the place is, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a cool place.
Yeah.
I like the, specifically the J Shy because it's just so nice. Like,
gorgeous.
It is. Wow. Gorgeous. Yeah. I love it when they have like professional shows and they always have the lights up. Because my freshman year, since there was like no audience, they didn't really have lights. I think they, I don't remember the lights. I was like, oh. But now that they have professional shows and we have live audiences, the lights are back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the stringed ones that are outside the J-Shy.
Yes, absolutely.
Aren't they so pretty?
They're gorgeous.
I love them.
I'm so excited to see them with snow covered on them.
Oh, yes.
I sometimes forget that the J-Shy is like a real place. Because I'm just there for classes. And then when there's like a professional show and there are hundreds of people here, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of at a point where it's like I might as well just sleep at the J-Shy because I'm there all the time, constantly.
It's pretty comfy, too.
I dig it. Oh, yeah.
Are there, like, a secret place you guys sleep? Because most of the stage managers, like, take a nap on Stacey's couch.
Mm, it was the donut chairs. They keep taking that away, though, in the lobby. There's, like, in that back hallway, there's, like, a green couch or something that I like to chill in when I don't know where else to go.
There you go.
I sometimes just lay on the floor of a practice room.
Yes.
Until Jason kicks me out at midnight.
Oh, Jason. Love Jason.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, Jason. What an interesting human being.
He's so sweet.
Oh, yeah,
so
no. Sweet. I love that man. He is just, he's always so happy.
He is.
I'm like,
God.
What would be him?
What is it like? Yeah. So, my first question or question I have is what are some challenges you face as a theater major that other students don't face?
Yeah, because like, I'm a like, humanities. Mm-hmm. Major, I'm doing international relations, and I never know like what's going on with the theory because I know like Lauren is always saying, oh my god, I have rehearsal at this time, I have rehearsal at 9. I'm like, oh my god, like that would be so hard for me. So,
COVID restrictions. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
I know there's some challenges in terms of like acting and musical theater majors, but especially when COVID started, the way the shop ran completely changed because they wanted to disperse us so we weren't, like, interacting with each other a lot when we were, you know, like, dealing with the set and everything. That's eased up a little, but that's definitely been a challenge.
Yeah, because I worked in the shop last year.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I feel like that would be beneficial. And it is. It definitely was beneficial for the year I did it.
Yeah.
But due to medical issues, I physically could not do the physical demand that job had. And I also liked being clean. And you can't do that.
No.
I find it hilarious whenever I see Janelle and she's just, like, covered in paint. I was like, I cannot. But, yeah, I definitely think, like, the shop ran so differently. And now that I'm taking stagecraft and, like, I'm not working there, but I see how you guys work. It's definitely different.
Absolutely.
There's more of, like, a cohesive, like, union together. So now you're like, let's work on this project together instead of you work on you prime, you base, you paint, you detail, all in different sections. Yeah. Don't talk to each other. Don't touch each other. Stay 6 feet apart. Wear three masks.
Yeah.
On the actor side too, it is just like being on stage and doing especially like a musical and you have to stay 6 feet apart.
You're in town.
Yeah.
The entire time. Terrible. Well, because you know, athletes, big portion of school is athletes. Mm-hmm. They also have classes and then practice. Mm-hmm. So they probably do, they do just as much as we do. But with COVID, we couldn't do half of the things that we normally can. Yeah. And that's what makes it really, really hard. Couldn't touch anybody, 6 feet apart, face masks. Horrible.
Who choreographed your intone?
Amy.
Good for her for that good choreography.
I know.
So phenomenal. Clever. So clever to do it in a way where no one was touching each other.
So for those of you who do not know, last year in 2021 in March, we had a show called You're in Town. It was a musical. We performed on the main stage. And because of COVID policies, we actually had to rehearse in the main stage, which we normally don't do. We normally rehearse in a separate area because of the amount of like professional shows that mm-hmm. go through the main stage and concerts and that sort of stuff. So normally you rehearse in a separate area, and then during tech week, you mm-hmm. perform in the space. But due to COVID, we had to perform and rehearse in the space. And that was interesting because we also had to do air breaks, which I'm so glad those aren't done. Every hour, you had to leave the space for like 10, 15 minutes so then the air could like circulate.
Oh my God.
Yes, it was. And like in 1070, which is where our separate rehearsal space is, they had this air scrubber and it would make wonderful noises throughout rehearsal.
Hmm. Mm. On yeah. top of the dance studio.
Right on top of the, yeah. Super cool. Mm. So, I definitely agree, like, the challenges. But, you know, you both were here before COVID.
Yeah.
So, is there anything, like, obviously COVID has been a challenge, mm-hmm. like, really mm-hmm. bad. But are there any other challenges that you faced as a theater major besides COVID that other students didn't? Because I would say, like, for me, the schedule is pretty hard to yeah. adjust to.
It is.
Because, like, sometimes you have an 8 a.m. class,
yeah.
but you're in the theater until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have a class at 10, and you're done at, like, 2, and so you have, like, all this time when you're not doing a show. So, like, that's a big adjustment for me was just that, like, go, and then stop. Like, once Fun Home was done, I got bored. I got so bored I started a podcast with Devin. Like, I was like, I don't know what to do anymore. Yeah. So I was like, all right, we're going to start a podcast. But, like, the adjusting yeah. is definitely hard because it's not consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say one challenge I have as a theater major that isn't COVID related is being in theater, it is a very competitive environment, so you constantly have to be, like, full throttle in everything you do, and it does kind of run you dry sometimes. And I get why, like, people during tech week just, like, when they're not at rehearsal, they just sleep. Like, I live with Faye, who's, like, an acting major,
mm-hmm.
and, like, during, like, when she was in tech for You on the Moors, like, she would come home, and, like, we wouldn't talk. She would just sleep. And I get it. Like, we're constantly just in the theater, like, working our butts off. And I get what you're saying when it's, like, when, like, the show is over, you kind of just feel lost for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, like, now what do we work on? Like, so, what's next?
So, with rehearsal and, like, class and practices, how do you manage your time and how do you, like, take care of your mental health?
Okay.
I don't manage my time.
Don't.
Question.
First of all, doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know how we... Yeah. I don't think I've ever really thought about how I manage my time.
Okay, yeah.
Just
keep going.
I try my best.
Yeah.
One of the worst things is I sometimes, like jeopardize my mm-hmm. eating habits because sometimes I'll have a class until 5:15 mm-hmm. and then rehearsal at 6, and so I have like a 45-minute time frame to eat food. Sometimes I just don't.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's not healthy.
Well, if you're ever in a show with me, I always have food. You literally can just go up and be like, Lauren, do you have food? And I'll be like, yes, of course I do.
Perfect. And Stacey's been nice enough during, like, intimate tech to, like, let me eat dinner before the actors are on stage, because I've also been running into that problem where it's like I'm printing paperwork or dealing with something with intimate and I don't have time to grab food. So
Well, especially, like, for Fun Home this year, Fun Home started immediately. And as we know, when school started immediately, Grubhub was an absolute mess.
Oh, Lord.
So, like, when I would order food, I would order at 4, and I'd have to be mm-hmm. at rehearsal at, like, 5:30, and I was like, 4 o'clock is totally enough time.
Mm-hmm.
I would not get it. I would have to, I've left food at Qdoba mm-hmm. or Chick-fil-A or Subhub so many times. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I am so sorry. So then either, number one, I would have to not eat, be grumpy and eat unhealthy snacks that I have in my bag, or I would have to eat out and waste the money that I have mm-hmm. earned on food because I can't eat the food here. So I think, like,
yeah,
definitely I feel you with that. Yes. Like, you're
food
just
is the hardest part
yeah
to me.
Yeah, The only advice I can give is order like way ahead, and with Starbucks, just don't order. It's a lost cause.
If you want Starbucks, just go to the one on First Capital.
Yeah, like people wait like 2 hours for a small coffee there. Yeah. Like it's not worth it.
No, I'm so excited for me to get a house.
Yes.
Because then I can make my own food.
Yes. That's why I got an apartment. Yeah,
no.
Miss a kitchen.
I am so excited because I've already decided that for my birthday, I'm asking for a crock pot, an Instapot, and like pots and pans.
Yes.
And then I have a Costco membership.
Oh.
I
would.
My family finally put me
on. Can I go with you?
No, I've talked to people and they're like, I've never been to Costco. And I was like, you've never been to Costco? It is an experience.
It's great.
As a marketing major, I am obsessed with Costco because, fun fact, I just learned this. So, Costco pays its employees like $15 an hour, okay? The CEO like makes billions of dollars, but yet Costco has so many health benefits and like benefits for its employees. And so it's like Costco is proof that you can be a billionaire, but also treat your employees well. I was like,
okay.
I know, right?
Pop off.
I am, and it's, I could spend hours on Costco.
I wonder how you can afford that stuff when you're a billionaire, right?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah,
companies just don't do it.
Who would have thunk? Also, fun fact. This is just an interesting fact I learned. So Costco actually makes the most money from their memberships than they do anything else.
Huh. How funny.
Really?
Yeah. That's the reason why they have, like, chicken for like $4. And also Costco's layout. So you know how like Target spends a lot on like aesthetics.
Yeah.
Right? They're like constantly like, okay, what things will look best together? Same thing with Kohl's, Walmart, all that. What can we make look pretty? At Costco, they're like, we know you want to come. Here's stuff. Like, we're not making it look pretty. It's in a box. Come and grab the box.
They know what you want.
Throw a bunch of stuff in a warehouse.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they're super smart because what they do, they put all the expensive stuff right in front. The MacBooks, the iPads, the televisions, the computers, the watches. Everything expensive is right in front. So then when you go down the aisles and you're like, oh, ice cream for $5. That is a steal right there versus the $600 iPad that I just saw. That is so cheap.
Marketing, y'all.
Psychology, too.
Placement.
I was like, dang.
Yeah.
So, besides my absolute love of Costco, if you ever need to go to Costco, please text me.
Oh,
I love
I will hit you up. Absolutely.
Stacey, for Fun Home, I bought a bunch of snacks for rehearsal because we were drained, not gonna lie. Fun Home was just a lot. And so I bought all the production team, like, snacks from Costco, and I bought so much Stacey threatened to take away my Costco card. She can't do that, but still, it was funny. She was like, I'm taking it away. I'm like, no, you're not. Also, fun fact for the viewers, Stacey Blackburn is the head of the stage management program and is the production manager of all Lindawood shows. Sorry, it took me a sec. So, yes, everyone loves Stacey. So, my next question is, what is your after college dream? Like, you, Nick, you're a senior. Janelle, you're a junior. I'm a sophomore. What is
time
do you
flies?
Do you have any idea of like what is your end goal? Like, do you want to become a professional Broadway actor, Hollywood actor, commercial actor, a scenic designer for Broadway musicals, Hollywood sets? Like, what is your dream?
I don't have anything solidified. I've discovered that I just go through a lot of phases of what I want after college. Like, part of me is like, I could just do like scenic painting and like load-ins at like amusement parks. That could be fun. And then part of me is like, maybe I could go to grad school for interior design since my strengths are lighting, composition, and painting and such. So right now I'm kind of just like, I'm sure I could get a yearly internship somewhere after college and put myself out there and get my name out there. Yeah.
What about you?
Wow. I don't know. It's kind of like Janelle. It changes a lot. Sometimes I'll go watch a live musical. and I'll be like, wow, that is the coolest thing ever. I want to be on Broadway. I want to go see like a new like huge blockbuster film, and I'll be like, I want to be on TV. So really, I think it boils down to I will really take any opportunity that comes my way. Mm. But recently, I think I've really been thinking about this. I think I want to try being a voice actor.
You are gonna have a voice.
I think I would love to be like a voice actor for like cartoons and stuff.
Oh my gosh!
So good. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
And I can do that from home.
Yeah.
I don't have to leave my couch.
Yes. And,
nice. But yeah, honestly, anything, I'll take it. But right now, voice acting seems really cool. So leaning towards that.
You know, I could absolutely see you being a voice actor.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
For me right now, we had those speakers from the St. Louis Rep who were in arts administration. And I was like, so I was like, that's interesting. And then I was like, you know what? And I'm actually talking to one of the people from the St. Louis Rep. I'm like getting more information about arts administration. My goal right now, we'll see if it changes. But right now, my goal is to be the executive director of the Lead Center, which is a performing arts center in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Dang.
Well, here's the thing. I grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's my home. But I've seen so many shows at the Lead Center, and it's just, it's so, I love that place. Like, it is my favorite place in the whole entire world. It is so amazing what shows I've seen and how much it impacts. Like, I'm a Midwestern girl. Like, I could do okay in Chicago or New York, but I was born and raised in the Midwest. I like it. I like the sunsets. I like the different types of people. I mean, in the Midwest, you have, like, just in Missouri, you have St. Louis, a very city type people. 30 minutes away, you have a bunch of ranchers. Like, you don't get that in New York or California or you get in Texas. But but I like the mixture of different types of people. So that's my goal for right now. What about you, Alexia? I know you're not in theater, but what is your goal? I kind of want to know yours.
Yes. I don't even know what I want to do in my life. My goal, I think, is just get the working visa at first. Wherever I can get that, and I want to work at the UN, help people. So yeah,
nice.
I love that.
That is.
Cool.
I know, right?
Oh, it would be a Marvel movie.
I don't know. Share with us about the summer stock. I know that it's a huge part of the college experience. And what was summer stock like for you?
Well, I will start this off by saying if you're gonna go to a summer stock, research where you're going. That is very important because I did not research and there were some concerns at the theater, some safety concerns, but generally it was fine. I definitely do think it's a very fundamental part of being a theater major. I think it definitely, like, I guess, amplifies your resume a bit, showing people that you can handle a summer stock. Because, like, it really just dumps you into, like, the real world. Because, like, at summer stock, like, sure, there are interns, but there are also, like, people who, like, this is their career, like, this theater. And it just really, like, puts you in their environment, and you learn a lot from the experiences. And I got a lot of, like, big opportunities from the summer stock. Like, I thought I was just going to be a scenic painter. I ended up being a scenic designer for some shows, so that was fun. And I did an outdoor theater, so it also just taught me how, like, the theater environment changes with an outdoor theater because of, like, weather and, you know, creatures crawling into your sets constantly. There were lots of lizards. That was fun. But
were they nice lizards? Did they talk?
They were nice. There were also really mean bugs, lots of wasps, and I learned the trick that if you snap at them, they go away. But for some reason, that only works for the wasps in West Virginia because I do that here, and they stay.
Nope.
So,
like,
yeah. Like it kind of, like, makes them dizzy, apparently. Like, it,
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And for those of you who do not know, summer stock is basically it's theater that's performed only in the summer. So a lot of people, like, in general, we go to the East Coast to do it. So, like, West Virginia,
New Jersey,
New York, Florida, Connecticut, sure. Florida. Yeah. So, yeah, for those of you who don't know, there's also a huge conference called SETC, which is the Southeastern Theater Conference, which is a annual conference that a bunch of college students and professionals go to. And that's where a lot of people get jobs for the summer. So this year it is during our spring break, and we're going to Memphis, Tennessee. Ooh. So, yeah, no, it's going to be super fun. And that's where you go on interviews and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Fun fact. So I asked my dad for Christmas a suit, like a professional interviewee suit. So excited. I've decided it's going to be red.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah.
Bold.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, see, okay, yeah.
Because here's the interesting thing. So I've noticed, like, with interviews, it's supposed to reflect who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a boring black suit does not reflect who I am. So why not a pop of red?
Mm-hmm. Amazing. I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in high school, I applied for the Nebraska High School Thespian Scholarship, Technical Scholarship. And I was the only one who wore a different color. Like, everyone was in black, all black. And I was in here with a white shirt, a red jacket. I was looking stunning. And here everyone else, they're also looking stunning, but they're in all black. And I was texting my director. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not wearing what I'm supposed to. I'm going to fail. I'm not going to get the scholarship. And she's like, you're fine. They'll notice you because you're literally not wearing black.
That's true. You're going to pan the room and it's like,
yeah.
The one in the red.
Also, most of the people in the interview knew who I was. Because I went to International Thespian Festival with them.
Mm, fun.
I know.
Yeah.
So, with our shows. So, this year we had Fun Home,
mm-hmm.
You on the Moors Now, mm-hmm. Intimate Apparel, and then Fall Play Fest 1 and 2. Next semester, we have A Dead Man's Cell Phone, Fall Playfest, or Playfest, Spring Playfest, sorry, and then Rent. And I'm wondering, are there anything, like, shows that you wish Lindenwood did? Whether that be more musicals, more straight plays, ballet, because we don't do an actual ballet, like the Nutcracker or anything like that. So is there anything you, as students, wish that we could do here at Lindenwood?
Well, I'll say this now, Mamma Mia.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We were supposed to do that, and COVID happened.
I was on that. I was so excited. That was one of the reasons I came to Lindenwood. Yeah. It wasn't, like, the deciding factor, but like,
Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
I love Mamma Mia.
I'm still bitter about it, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Like, Claire's bitter about the cabaret being canceled.
Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, I was so excited for cabaret. The rehearsals were apparently so good.
Oh.
So good.
Maybe we can do it another year. What about
you,
Nick?
So I like our system right now of, like, three straight plays and two musicals.
Mm-hmm.
Musicals take a lot more time
mm-hmm.
to put on. I like that we, you know, throw in a dash of shows that no one's ever heard of in their life.
Like You on the Moors.
Like You on the Moors Now and Dead Man's Cell Phone.
Yeah.
But I sometimes wish that we, because we tend to do that a lot, where the musicals we choose are big musicals that everyone's heard of, and the straight plays are, no one has heard of this. So I wish we could sometimes do some straight plays that people have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, plays that no one's heard of is kind of more of a recent thing. Because
mm-hmm.
I think, like, a couple years ago we've done, like, All My Sons. I think we did, I think we did Death of a Salesman here one time.
I'm not sure.
I don't know either, but I think it is a COVID thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would like to see more recognizable mm-hmm. straight plays here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed out we're not really doing a Shakespeare show this year. But that doesn't mean I don't like the variety of the shows we're doing here. Because what I like is with You on the Moors Now, it focused heavily on the movement of the actors. and intimate apparel was very concrete in the script. So, like, on a technical aspect, that gave a lot of variety to, like, the sets and the lights provided. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's all.
Yeah, no, You and the Morse is a very interesting show. I am not going to lie. When I watched it, I was like, this is phenomenal, but what was the point of it? I guess myself. Do you?
I was in the show, and I
didn't. Yeah. Know. I think most people are like, what did we learn? Because from every show, we, like, learn something. Like, yeah. Fun Home, we learned love your family. Or, like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Just be better.
Yeah, be better. And, you know, it's okay to be gay. Like, yeah. Like, that's what we learned from Fun Home. But I was watching You on the Morse. I was like, what am I supposed to, like, learn from this? Like,
yeah.
Feminism? Like, what?
I have
feminism.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just so broad.
Question mark. Yeah, I have a very, not a different opinion, but everyone's like, I didn't get the play. And they say it as, like, a negative thing. And it's like, I didn't get the play either, but I was along for the ride. No. I had a great time watching it.
Yeah, a lot of people said that they loved watching it. Yeah. Like, because all the actors did well. But
yes.
The show itself made no sense.
No. The script is interesting.
Weird. And the person who, the playwright, actually, they're not a playwright.
And I had to watch Emily, who was the stage manager for that, for some observation hours I have to do. And I was looking at her script. I was like, who wrote this? Like, it doesn't, like, yeah. It's not clear. Because, like, most scripts, it says Steve. And then it has two dots or, like, all capitalized to indicate Steve is talking. It'll be like, hello. And then Jan will say, hello. But, like, in that one, it was like, hello, hello. But, like,
who's talking?
Exactly.
Yeah, very scattered. In the last act of the show, it is written like a novel.
Yes.
Yeah,
where it's just paragraphs, and it'll say, like, there's a character who dies in the show, and then she becomes the narrator for the last act, where she will say, like, Heathcliff says, and then I say a line for, like, 13 pages.
Yeah.
And it's weird. And I don't know why she just chose to be like, let's make it a book.
Yeah, it very much read off as, like, a fan fiction of people who love those classic books. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed it. One of my favorite, like, the acting was phenomenal, but, like, the lights, the starry night was,
my God.
It was stunning. Gosh. And I was taking stagecraft, and I actually learned how that happened. I don't want to, like, tell everyone, because that would
ruin
the magic. But I was like, oh, that's so cool.
I didn't even know we had that. And I'm lighting major. So.
Well, we learn something new each day, right?
That's why I'm here.
So we kind of touched on 2021 and 2020 with COVID. But is there anything, like, hugely different that you noticed between the 2 years?
Besides the what we already talked about, like, 6 feet apart, can't touch anyone, I have noticed, actually, I think, a decline in effort this year.
Yeah.
Because in 2020, when COVID happened, people were like, oh, this sucks.
But
you know what? Next year, we're positive it's going to get better.
Yeah.
And we're here, and it's not that much better. Mm-hmm. So people are just losing
hope.
Hope and interest, and I'm one of them. I have, I don't know. I haven't been performing as well this year in, like, my classes and my grades, just because it's hard to find the effort because it just seems like it'll never end.
Yeah.
But that's the hard part for me. That's what I've noticed, is that just the decline of effort this year.
I definitely do think it's partially because, like, COVID has now been normalized, because like last year they were being a lot stricter with just, like, restrictions and everything, because they were like, okay, we only have to do this for a year, and, like, if we, like, keep doing it proceeding this strictly with, like, guidelines, and, like, we'll be fine in the next year. And it hasn't become better, so I feel like they've just learned to, like, adapt to the whole, like, wearing masks and, like, getting a COVID test and everything. So, yeah, it's pretty much just a part of life now.
Yeah.
And what do you think Lindenwood can do to support you guys more in that sense?
I have no idea.
Me neither.
Honestly, wow. I would say, you know, I've gone to the sports games. I feel like if we had that energy, like, mm-hmm. also in the theater, I feel like that would be beneficial. Because, like, we do have an audience. We do have a good amount of audience in our shows. Mm-hmm. But I feel like not as many people come to our shows as they do sports events.
No. Oh, absolutely. Not even close.
So yeah. I feel like if students, you know, Lindenwood students get free tickets. Mm-hmm. Lindenwood staff also get free tickets. And I feel like people are like, oh, do we get free tickets? I'm like, yes, please come.
Yeah, so like show more support for the theater and the arts. Yes. Okay.
Because Lindenwood is definitely primarily an athletic school.
Yeah, it's an athletic school.
When you look at Lindenwood from afar, you see like the big stadium, and you see on billboards like the football stadium. Mm-hmm. But the Jay Schadiger Center and the theater major as a whole, everyone there, it's kind of like in this little bubble mm-hmm. off to the side mm-hmm. that I don't think anybody really pays much attention to unless you're in the field. Okay. So I wish we would get more support from outside people, yeah. but I don't know.
I think that's, like, true for, like, a lot of schools as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, mm-hmm. I mean, unless you go to a conservatory, and even then, you're still in your own little bubble. Like, I don't know what schools you guys looked at, but, like, I looked at Nebraska Wesleyan University, which is a university in Nebraska. Who would have thunk? Oklahoma City University, and UNL, UNO, and UNK, which is University of Nebraska-Lincoln, Omaha, and Kearney. And all of them had theater programs except University of Kearney. And again, it was like a little bubble. Like,
yeah.
Even so, we have theater, so we have our little bubble. And then we also have the dance majors, and they're in their little bubble. And sometimes we like come together and we're like a bigger bubble. So, yeah, I definitely agree. Like, Jay Shai is a bubble. Mm-hmm. And I wish that we would integrate the bubble into the square, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Everyone else is in a square. We're just like, scooch and make a
nice little community.
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And like, to be real, sometimes I feel like the theater isn't like as supported as the other ones. Cause I remember with like the movie nights or whatever, like people, like it was literally people sitting in an audience, yet we weren't allowed to have an audience for our shows. And then I remember there was, like, a lip-sync thing going on, mm-hmm. and they were allowed to take their masks off, but, like, the performers in the shows weren't allowed.
I did get information about that.
Yeah.
So the reason why the people were allowed to take their masks off is because whoever handled that allowed it. Arts and Humanities, who are, like, the head of the theater program, mm-hmm. they decided to enforce the mask mandate. Because, like, in rehearsal... Okay. Basketball, volleyball, all these other people can practice with their mask and perform with their masks off. So I think it's not like just Lindenwood as a whole. Like the arts people have decided for everyone's safety, keep the mask off. So it depends on
the department.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the reason they were allowed to take their mask off, but we are not.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, because I remember being on Shade Room. Yeah. And that was a thing, and, like, there was a huge debate on the Shade Room being, like, should we have a mask? Like, should the lip-sync people be required to wear masks? Why are theater people, why are arts people required to wear masks during a performance and that sort of stuff? Mm. And I talked about this with Robbie, actually.
Yeah, we always do.
Because I was like, why is that? And then I realized it's because the head of the departments are the ones who make that decision, and they have decided masks must be worn for COVID.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like an excuse.
I know.
No.
And it's definitely annoying. Like, I absolutely understand how annoying it is. Like, I was watching You on the Moors, and I was like, I really want to take their masks off. Like, I want to see their faces. And I don't, like, it's so hard to act with a mask on. It's so hard to, like, perform with a mask on, and it takes away from the performance. No matter how much the director can work on, no matter how much the actor can work on it, a mask blocks off half your face. You can
expressions and everything.
Mm-hmm. Your nose is also very important. You can see when you get mad, your nose moves, your mouth moves, everything in your face moves to express your emotion. Yeah. And when you cut half that off, you are missing a big chunk.
Yeah.
Especially with singing. I remember so many times when in Fun Home, when they were singing, their mask would move, and I'd be like, dang it. Because now I know they're like not in the moment. Like, this isn't Fun Home. Yeah. It's Fun Home COVID. Like, this is not the 1970s. Yeah. It's 2021.
In You on the Moors, my character was very angry.
Yes, I remember that.
And a lot of screaming moments. And every time my mask would fall down, it would be like a conscious thing. I'd be like, oh no, my mask is down. Or people going to look at me and be like, ooh, COVID, gross. And I would just immediately be out of character. Mm-hmm. Moving my mask back up and being like, oh, am I going to get in trouble? It's just a lot of stress that I don't want on the stage.
Yeah.
Also, so. I don't know how I feel about it, because I think masks are also kind of
important.
Yes.
A lot of times. But
they're necessary to protect people from COVID.
Yeah.
But also,
they're still annoying.
They're still annoying.
Yes.
Have you tried, I've seen some people that wear the transparent masks with like the kind of like the lid.
That's not allowed.
What?
No.
Why?
Wait, at all?
Like the ones that like go from here.
Yeah,
is because we tried that for Urinetown, I think.
Did we?
What happened?
But we were told no, because it doesn't fully cover.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, it's like it doesn't cover the nose.
Yeah, it just covers.
Because like my high school theater is using them.
I guess, yeah.
And like, I think we were talking about it for Urinetown, but like they were like no.
No.
They're like no.
Ooh.
Yeah. So. Obviously, we had to change a lot due to COVID, but our theater department's also going through another change. Not at this exact moment, but very soon we are going through another change. John O'Hagan, who is the head of Lindenwood's theater program, is leaving, not in 2021, but at the end of the academic year, so May 2022. And he has only been here for 2 years, but he has gotten a job in Ireland, which I'm super excited. I know.
Yeah.
Great.
It's going to be great for him. But question, how do you both feel about him moving? Like, how will it affect our program?
You're graduating. Bye.
John is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He, in my honest, unfiltered opinion, he is probably the best professor I've ever had. And I think the best head of the department we've ever had.
Yeah.
Mm. I am so happy for him that he's going off and doing this amazing thing that he's always wanted to do with his wife and his family. And even though he's leaving, and that sucks real bad.
It's horrendous. It's sad.
I do think it's good. I don't know. Not. I think we have learned from what he has done here. Mm. And I think people in the future who will be replacing him will learn and maybe do things similarly to how he did it. He's also just very charming and charismatic and just a great guy. I'm gonna miss him a lot.
Yeah. I think he'll leave us in good hands. Yeah.
Fun fact, so last year I was on his first showcase, and this year I am on his last show, Dead Man's Cell Phone.
He is so emotional.
Starting with me and ending with me. Poor him. Just
love
kidding.
That.
I never got to perform with John, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Nope. Never?
I've been in a couple of his classes.
Love it, right. Are you on Rent?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I'm on Rent.
Are you?
I'm Dead Man's Cell Phone.
Oh, right. I Kiefer, my brain's not
No,
okay.
That's fine.
I know that.
Rent would be so fun to do for me, but I need to do a solo lighting design, and I think Dead Man's Cell Phone will really push me for that.
Yeah, it'll definitely. There's a lot of lighting requirements for that one.
Yeah, but whatever.
I think Dead Man's Cell Phone will be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Than you
might think.
I completely agree. It gives me a lot of creative freedom because it's not that kind of show. I'm not going to reveal much about the show, but it's not that kind of show where it's very concrete with the lighting I'm supposed to be doing. It's a more like absurdist abstract show, so I'm excited to bring some like technical elements into that.
You should be.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna miss John a lot.
I have to take, as a stage manager, I have to take stage combat, right? Mm. John normally teaches that class, but the issue is drafting for theater, which is taught by Stu, is held at the exact same time.
No.
Exact same time as John's stage combat class. And I was like, I want to cry because I wanted to take it so badly with John. But I do also have to take drafting, which is quite important for a stage manager, so I understand. But I'm like, Stu's here forever, and John's leaving. Can't I just be with John for like one class?
Stu's gonna die in this building.
Absolutely.
Probably. Yeah.
He's one with the building.
Yes, he is.
He just, yeah, he ain't leaving. He's stuck here. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, I think our theater department will miss him a lot. I remember when he announced that he was leaving, and people didn't know the difference between academic year and, like, the cast list came out for all the shows that had auditions, and Dead Man's Cell Phone wasn't in there because all the roles had already been cast.
Oh.
So many people were like, oh my gosh, is John leaving? Like, are we not having Dead Man's Cell Phone? Funny. What's happening? I was like, no, it's fine. Like, yeah. We didn't. We're good. Like, it's still happening. John's still directing it. It's just, there were no parts open, so when the castlets came out for shows that got casted that time, Dead Man's Cell Phone wasn't on it because Dead Man's Cell Phone didn't have auditions at that exact moment. But still, everyone was like, it's not happening, and John's leaving.
I swear, people will make something out of nothing. It's
always,
so funny.
Always
I know. It's quite entertaining, not going to lie. You're like, calm down. So, in theater, we have a process, right? We go through design meetings, concept meetings. Mm-hmm. And then we take a couple weeks, because whether that's break or something, then we have rehearsal. Rehearsal goes, we have production meetings, we talk about rehearsal, the set's built. And then after rehearsal is done, we then go into tech week. Now, one of you explain to me, in your opinion, how does one describe tech week?
Yeah, I've never heard of that. So.
I am very involved in Tech Week right now.
So for the listeners who do not know, I'll give you like the technical version of Tech Week. So Tech Week is about a week and a half before opening night. So opening night for Intimate Apparel is on Thursday. So Tech Week starts a week and 3-4 days before that Thursday. And during that, you have spacing, which means, hey, we're now on stage with the set. Let's make sure all of the rehearsals that we had are correctly spaced in this new area that we're in. And then you have cue to cue. Cue to cue is when the stage manager and the lighting designer and the lighting operator come together and say, all right, when does this light happen? When does this scene shift happen? When does this sound happen in the script? And how do I correctly tell everyone to go? Then you go into dress rehearsal. And in dress rehearsal, you now have costumes. And you now get to run the show fully. And make sure all of the little ducklings are in line. So when opening night happens, no issues arise. And the show goes on with no issues.
Okay.
Granted, that never happens, but still, that is the idea of Tech Week. So now that we know kind of what it is, what do you think Tech Week is? Like, what? How do you deal with Tech Week?
Tiresome.
Time-consuming.
Awful.
Yeah, it's just very long hours. I've learned to do my homework at tech rehearsal. Because that is also very hard to balance time to do homework and attend rehearsal. Mm-hmm. As assistant lighting designer, it can get a little boring, and I mean that in a nice way, just because I've been at the light board just waiting for Stu, the current lighting designer for the show, to ask me to update a cue slightly and bring a level up slightly. So sometimes it's just a lot of sitting around, but I understand that, like, the stage being moved in is very different than actors just spacing things out on, was it that tape?
Tape out.
Yeah, tape out. But it's just like, it's really just like bringing all the tech in, which can be very overwhelming. But once tech week kind of sizzles out, then, you know, it feels complete. It's just very chaotic in the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Nick, as an actor? Because we have a technical theater person, we have an actor, and then we have a stage manager. So as an actor, what are your views on tech week?
Two big ones that Janelle already said, time consuming and can be really boring. It's so important. Tech week is like the most important part of the rehearsal process, one of them anyway. But it's incredibly time consuming because you need to carve out at least like a 6 hour chunk of time every evening.
Yeah.
Because rehearsals are usually from maybe like 6 to 11:30. And sometimes you need to get there early, or you have to like take time to actually somehow eat food before rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And you need 6 hours every night of the week to just do tech week. And a lot of times, even as a, no matter what size character you are, if you're supporting a lead role, there will be times where you're standing on stage for upwards of maybe an hour and a half doing absolutely nothing while lighting works its thing, or they do Q2Q with a different character. And it's just a lot of time that, like Janelle said, you could be spending on homework, but sometimes you're on stage and they don't let you go off stage. So you just stand there for 2 hours and do nothing.
Yeah.
Very tiring, very time consuming.
Yeah.
But again, important. So, I don't know.
Okay.
Whole process is
great. Yeah. Like, no matter what, there's going to be someone just sitting around and doing nothing. Because, like Nick said, like, it's either, like, actors waiting around to do something because lighting has to work out their stuff. Or it's lighting having to wait around and do nothing because actors need to, like, rework some blocking or something. Like, it, everyone kind of shares that experience.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, from a stage manager's point, it's very vital because, like, we have the stage manager who calls all the cues. So they're, like, learning the show, like, from lighting. And they're like, okay, when exactly can I call this so that it happens correctly? As an assistant stage manager, when and how can I move this set piece on without, like, for Fun Home, we had audiences on three sides of our stage. So how can I move the set piece without hitting grandma? Like, those were vital, important information. But, yeah, I definitely agree. I brought for my gifts, because I do gifts for every show I do, I bought everyone slinkies. So what did we do when we were bored? Played with the slinky. It was fun. So, yeah, I definitely agree. Like, there's a lot of waiting that you do.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, I want to take a nap, and I could. Like, honestly,
yeah.
We're in such a hold. I was like, I could take a 20-minute nap right now, and no one would know.
You're also on edge so much, because if you're doing homework, you also need to be aware of when you're going back on
yes.
stage.
Yes.
Because if you're even a second late, they're like,
come
on. Come
on.
Literally.
Get your stuff together. You can't be doing this. This is vital.
Yeah. I've also noticed I tend to eat when I'm bored, and Jackie, the director for Intimate Apparel, brought like a bunch of candy and snacks. So like I was really sick after one rehearsal because I was just eating Snickers constantly. It was bad.
Oh my gosh. I gave for Fun Home, I did same thing with candy. And so all of us were just like inhaling candy. And David loves candy.
I know.
So
he
like
does.
David would be like, and candy in the pockets. Okay, let's go.
Oh my
Can I get
gosh.
More candy in the pockets? Let's
I
go.
Love it.
I could eat my body.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Absolutely.
What's your guys' favorite candy?
Oh, man.
I love, I can have chocolate, but like in moderation.
Yeah.
But like I could eat gummies all day, every day.
Sure.
Gummies are my gummy bears. But here's the thing. In order to eat a gummy bear, you can't eat like a handful of gummy bears. No, you have to pick a gummy bear and then eat its little head and then eat the rest of it because you don't want the gummy bear to suffer.
Oh, no, I just shove, like, three in my mouth at a time.
Yeah, it's
fine.
They can suffer.
Let them all suffer.
Yeah. No, but right now, my favorite is Twix, and specifically strawberry Laffy Taffy.
I don't try that.
It's good. I love it.
Phenomenal.
I love Laffy Taffy so much.
Do you guys, like, know, like, the big ones?
Yeah, the big Laffy Taffy.
Yes.
My theater. So when I did youth theater, they had, like, it was, I had to pay for it. It was, like, $500 to like do a couple like a show, and they had you're in rehearsal for like 5 hours and they had like a lunch break, and they would have like this bar, but not an actual bar, where they would have candy and like food and stuff like that. And I would always buy Laffy Taffys. Mm. Oh, and like we would trade.
Yes.
Oh.
They had a bunch of those at Dark Carnival, and I didn't plan on doing the trunk or treating, so I kind of just folded my shirt over and had a little kangaroo pouch.
Of a Laffy Taffy.
Yeah. Oh. It was great.
Oh, Dark Carnival was phenomenal.
Yes. It was great. It was just cold.
I didn't go.
It was
so cold. I wanted to go.
You didn't go?
Mm-hmm. Why?
No. Yeah, I went and saw a, it was an okay horror movie with my girlfriend.
There you go.
It was a nice time.
What was it? What movie? Halloween Kills, I heard it's meh.
Halloween Kills sounds meh.
What did I see? It was Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
There you go. Because
for the weekend leading up to Halloween, we saw 3 horror movies.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, we saw Halloween Kills, which was meh. Antlers, which was pretty good.
I don't know that one.
And then, was it Last Night in Soho?
Oh, I wanted to see that. Dang it.
You have to see it.
I know.
Yeah.
See, I can't do scary movies. I try to watch a scary movie, and for weeks on end, whenever I go in the bathroom and my sweet mate would be in there, I would scream bloody murder because I thought she was a serial killer trying to kill me.
Oh my god.
My roommate would be like, the frick? What's happening? I'd be like, I'm so sorry. I got scared. Yeah. You could be an axe murderer.
Yeah.
She'd be like, I'm not an axe murderer. I'm a dancer, but okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you a question that I ask everyone. So, what advice do you have for students in the theater program, both academically and in the theater aspect?
One on the top of my head I could say is have a plan on how you organize everything for theater, because just like with the shows and all the paperwork involved, it starts to stack up and you start to mix everything up. So now I've decided I just have a folder on my computer for every show I've done, because it can get really messy and chaotic, and like you need to like bring up like past paperwork a lot if you want to build up like a portfolio for theater. Also, as a tech theater major, take lots of pictures of everything you do. Mm-hmm. Everything you do, because you also need to put that into your portfolio.
Exactly. Yeah. Nick?
Yes.
I would say definitely use your calendar. 100%.
Yes.
I need to take my own advice on that. As an actor, you know, you'll be in rehearsal, you'll be doing classes, and you will just randomly forget that there is an audition coming up or a company meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll be in a show, but you still have to audition for, like, student-directed one-acts.
Mm-hmm.
Completely goes over your head because you're in tech week during the time. Mm-hmm. So use your calendar. Remind yourself, write in a journal, do something. Mm-hmm. Just like Janelle said, be organized. If you're organized, you'll be good.
Also, be early, because apparently that leaves a really good impression in the real world.
Yes.
Like at 15 minutes to a half hour early.
When they say 15 minutes early is on time, they mean it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I show up to rehearsal at least 30 minutes to an hour early. But that's mostly
hour.
Well, I also like have to, because like stage managers have to be there like to set up and stuff like that. So in general, it's like 30, 45, an hour,
2 hours.
Yeah, I also have to take my own advice, because I'm very lucky that like as a designer for a show, I do not have to sign in, because I've been cutting it real close, showing up at like 6:01, 6:02.
Dang.
Like sprinting into the theater. Yeah.
I, embarrassing for you and the Moors. For every show we had, for our preview on Wednesday up until our last show on Saturday, our call time was 6:15, and I signed my name at 6:15
single
night. At 6:15 on the, I was never late.
That's good.
But
you were late.
That is,
I was
so
late.
Stressful.
It's so bad. It was bad. Don't be like me. Be better than me.
Five minutes early.
At least one.
Just do the 15. At least one. Like you can at least do 6:14.
14. All right. Well, I wanted to say thank you both again so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It was really nice meeting you guys.
Yeah.
Nice meeting you too.
It was a good time.
So, I hope you both have a great day. And listeners, if you want to hear more, please hit the subscribe button. We can be found on Spotify.
Stay sassy.
Just stay sassy, or stay really sassy.